This is Clap 2. I'm at the after party at Southeast Linux Fest, and I'm talking to Wendy from the Onion Router. What is the Onion Router?
Well, the Tor project is an instance of Onion Routing anonymizing software that sends traffic through a series of hops on its way to its destination so that ISPs along the way and the destination site can't figure out who you are and what you're browsing at the same time.
Nice. So, I mean, I guess the immediate appeal to that is fairly obvious. Who uses this? I mean, is it just because you're paranoid, or I mean, is there...
Well, it's anyone who wants to avoid traffic analysis of their activity.
Okay.
And that ranges from people who are looking for competitive intelligence about a business sector and don't want their competitors to know that they are doing deep investigations of what's posted on a public website, to victims of domestic violence who are trying to use the web without attracting attention from their attackers, to people in government. Tor was initially funded by naval research, and government doesn't want people knowing what it's investigating, even among public documents either.
Right. Okay.
So it's got a whole range of uses. Among the uses that we're seeing lately, an increasing number of people using it to circumvent national level censorship or filtering, the Great Firewall of China.
Okay.
Because traffic through the Tor network is encrypted and only comes out at the other end from a different country often than where it started, you won't trigger keyword or destination-based filtering rules. And so a user in China trying to learn more about the events of Tiananmen Square might be able to get to sites through Tor that were blocked through an unfiltered connection, a filtered connection.
So I'm gathering that what happens is that I'm at home, I fire up Tor, I go out onto the interwebs, and my signal, instead of going to, you know, I don't know, google.com, goes to someone else's server or something, and then it goes to Google, or what? I mean, how does it work, and whose servers am I bouncing off of?
Well, the servers in the Tor network are run by volunteers.
Oh, okay.
So each node is volunteer operated.
Okay.
And we call it onion routing because at the source, the packets are wrapped in a few layers of encryption.
And
the Tor design uses a three-hop route, so you find an entry node. It unwraps one layer of encryption, which tells it the destination for the next hop.
Okay.
And that middle node then doesn't know the source or the destination, only that it's got a somewhat encrypted packet that it needs to... a fully encrypted packet that it needs to pass on to an exit node.
Okay.
The exit node unwraps, sees the destination, but not who sent it into the network, and sends it off to Google or the site you were trying to reach, and then it takes the same path in reverse.
Okay.
On the way back.
And how is this path determined? Like, I mean, if I go to Google, am I always sent the same way to it, or is it just, like, whatever's available, or...?
I should note here that I'm not one of the technical architects of Tor.
Note here that I have no idea what I'm asking anyway.
But
so.
the design, it's all fully open source and open spec.
Yeah.
Specified on the website, so I believe that the routes are determined and last for a period of a few minutes, and then get cycled or switched on.
Okay.
But if I'm wrong, everyone can go to the torproject.org website and read the correct description instead.
Okay. Well, here's a question that you probably do know then, and I think you already answered it, but and it might be a dumb question. So if I'm at a conference, like Southeast Linux Fest, I decide I want to check my email, and, you know, normally I would tunnel, I'd make an SSH tunnel and fire up a web session, you know, through there and do all my browsing through there. So if I had Tor, could I start that up and that would encrypt from end to end the same way, or is it different?
Well, in the similar way to your SSH tunnel. So like your SSH tunnel, Tor can't encrypt the connection between an exit and a website or other service that doesn't offer encrypted connections.
Right, yeah.
But you put the Tor client onto your machine,
mm-hmm.
And then your traffic is encrypted from there until the point that it exits the Tor network.
Okay.
So if you were concerned that somebody at one of these conferences was sniffing your connection, trying to see what you were doing, routing the connections through Tor would stop that.
Okay. So just, I guess just briefly, like a brief explanation. So if I want to go home now because I've learned about Tor, I want to sit down in front of my computer and get it and start using it on a Linux box, how do I set that up?
Well, depending on what distribution you use, go to torproject.org and you can get source code, tarballs, or packages that are made up for many distributions.
Sure.
And install those from whatever package manager you use. If you were using a Windows or Macintosh system, there are even bundles that you could download. For Windows, you could download the Tor browser bundle and put it onto a USB stick to take with you.
Right.
If you went to an internet cafe and didn't
mm-hmm.
want to use whatever was installed
locally
on their machine,
very nice.
You could launch this from a USB key. And
you have to set up like a proxy thing or something. I seem to recall, did I have to set that up on Firefox once to get it to recognize that Tor was enabled or something like that? Does that sound familiar?
Sure. So if you are not using the bundle, which sets those things up for you, then you would have to tell Firefox directly, I'm not connecting directly to the internet. Instead,
right, okay.
I'm using an HTTP proxy, and that HTTP proxy is sending the traffic to Tor, which behaves as a SOX proxy.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
and so
okay.
Proboxy or Polyfo will serve as that middle layer.
Okay. So what, I mean,
and then if you can install the Tor button extension for Firefox.
For Firefox, that's what I use.
Which will
really
do the toggle for you.
Yeah.
And also protect you against various nasty JavaScript and history sniffing attacks
that could try
to correlate your browsing behavior between anonymous and non-anonymized states.
So if I'm using Tor, I go to Google, it's all in German. Why is that? What does that mean?
Well, it's because Google is using geolocation detection, and it sees that your packets are exiting to the Google server from probably an exit node located in Germany.
Right.
And so Google thinks it's being helpful by giving you Google.de instead.
Cool. And you then it's working.
That's right. Even without going to the Tor check website.
Yeah, and so there is a Tor check website where it will say, you are not.
Or at least you are exiting from a known Tor exit node.
Yeah.
We maintain public lists of those Tor exit nodes.
So, I mean, to set up, I mean, let's say that I had a spare, I guess, server, or I guess a world-connected server, you know. I mean, how could I set up, is it complex to be a Tor node, or is it kind of like just installing a server daemon or something and going for it?
It is not complex, technically. It's the same package that would give you a Tor client, change a few configuration options, either in the text configuration file on a Linux machine or through the Vidalia GUI, and You can opt to become a server, and you can set your exit policy, which ports you want to permit exit on, and you're good. And or if you choose, you can be a middle node in the Tor network that
just passes it from
just passes
one
traffic
and, yeah.
in the middle of those connections,
right,
so
right.
it doesn't get seen by the outside world as a source of traffic. Or you can opt to be a bridge relay, helping users from censored countries or to connect to the network if they have difficulty reaching the publicly listed nodes.
So I set up a Tor middle node at work without anyone knowing that I was doing it, because I was in a test environment anyway. So I figured, why not? Are there any signs that there is a middle node on, like, one of my servers?
Well, I'll assume that you had all the right authorization to do that.
Yeah.
And,
no, it was my server.
Sure.
It was my, yeah.
And so you'll see increased traffic.
Right, correct, yes.
To and from the machine.
Which is what I wanted. That's what I wanted to generate anyway.
And
but that's it, really. I mean, it's not like...
You might see increased CPU usage. I'm not aware of other things that you would see.
Okay, cool.
And then you're helping to contribute to the network, helping to make it run faster for everyone else who uses it, contributing to the anonymity set, which makes the anonymity stronger for everyone using the network.
So I kind of forgot to ask you, what do you do for Tor? Who are you?
Well, thanks for asking. I am a member of the board of directors. Tor is a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay.
So it's a core team of now I think 7 paid employees working on the development of the code and the architecture of the network. And so as a nonprofit, we have a board of directors working on the strategic goals of the organization and some fundraising. So if you like Tor and you're not able to run a server, I encourage people to go to torproject.org and see if there's a donation they can make.
You know, one of the
code, money, time,
any
of the translations, any of those things are helpful to the project.
Yeah. One of the first time I heard about Tor was at a an organization called Human Rights Watch, which sends out people to basically watch country governments and see how they're treating humans, if there's, you know, human rights abuses, things like that. And they, in order, like you said, I think, you know, in order to be protected from people trying to figure out that they were in the country, watching, you know, they had to use Tor. So, I mean, it's projects like that. I mean, it's not just the paranoid, you know, hacker in his mom's basement wanting to use Tor to, like, be paranoid. It's like real people, like, needing, you know, the anonymity that they deserve and that they have a right to, really.
But that's right. Aid workers going into war-torn countries
or
places with corrupt local administrators who wouldn't like to know that, or who would very much like to know and to cause harm to somebody who was reporting on conditions there, using Tor and other good security practices to disguise their location and hide their traffic is absolutely an important use of the network.
Yeah, it's really important, Well, I really admire all the work that you guys are doing at the Onion Router, and I thank you for your time and the interview.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.